And I have a guest on the line, Jim Lind. He's been with us, I believe, before. I don't remember, but it's been a while. Jim, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Yeah, you're welcome. Happy to be here.
Yeah, and actually your interview was requested by a listener who said, what's happening with the Christmas bird count? And so we're hoping that you can tell us a little bit. But first, share with us your history of birding. I know that you actually have many interests and are not just a birder, but how long have you been looking at birds?
A very long time. I'm in my 50s, and I've been birding since I was 16 years old. So,
nice.
Born and raised here in Two Harbors, so started out birding out in Silver Creek. Been looking at birds ever since.
Yeah. What first drew your attention to birds? Most 16-year-olds don't look up that much.
I don't know. It was just kind of, everyone has, most birders have what they call kind of a spark bird that kind of sparked their interest. And for me, it was evening grosbeaks. They're kind of bright yellow and black finches that were at our bird feeder at our cabin. And for whatever reason, that was what kind of triggered it. And then I just started making lists of birds that I was seeing at the feeders, and it kind of took off from there.
Hmm. All right. And then now tell us what this Christmas count is for listeners who might not know.
Sure. So a Christmas bird count is kind of a standardized count. They're all held in the same manner. They're laid out the same. It's like a 15-mile diameter circle. Count circle that's counted by teams of birders on one day, kind of around the holiday season between December 14th and January 5th. And each count is organized by a volunteer who kind of coordinates the coverage of the count circle and splits the area up into teams so that there's not overlap. And then everyone goes out and counts birds on that one day. And then the compiler compiles all that data and sends it into the National Audubon Society, who is sort of the storing house for that data. And then that data gets used by all sorts of people in all sorts of different ways, by different researchers looking at different questions. And these things are held across the country. I'm not sure the exact number, but I think it's nearly 2,000 counts across the country and in Central America. I think there's even some down in South America. So, but like I said, each one is held the same way. And so the one here in Two Harbors is contributing to a bigger survey effort for birds. So we had it on December 17th this year on a Sunday.
And how many people were involved?
This year we had a really good turnout. We had 22 observers on 9 different teams. And yeah, so the count circle spreads from Stewart River to the northeast and then all the way down towards Stony Point. And then inland it goes up just up on the start of the Drummond Line. So our circle is kind of strange because nearly half of it is in water. So we don't have as big of a land area to cover as a lot of counts. And so we're able to cover it pretty well with that number of observers. So, yeah.
And then I don't even know how to ask in a educated way, but what did you find?
It was a good year for the count. We found 44 different kinds of birds. Our average is about 41. As everyone knows, it's just been a crazy mild winter. So there were a number of birds that were what we call late lingering birds. They probably should have been further south than us, but they are still here. So we had a couple of birds that were firsts for our count. We had a ruddy duck, which is a kind of a southern duck that we've never had on our count. That was in Burlington Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had a sparrow called a dickcissel, and not a bird that a lot of people are familiar with, but it's a grassland bird. It's kind of like a sparrow-sized bird, and it was in a flock of house sparrows behind the car wash in Two Harbors. And it's the first record ever for Minnesota for the winter.
Wow.
So that was an exciting find.
Yeah, and how much do you look at trends? Are you just sending in information, or are you noticing and recording trends? I mean, we hear a lot from the Audubon Society about how quickly birds are either moving north or going extinct, and to the concern of many. I'm sure you know all about that. You know, are you seeing that on the ground or in the sky, I should say?
Well, we're definitely seeing, you know, birds that are more common here, more southern birds. Like we're cardinals are now no big deal. That used to be a very rare bird, you know, 20, 30 years ago. Red-bellied woodpeckers, same thing. That's kind of a southern bird that now is sort of routine for our count. Wild turkeys are moving in for sure. I'm sure a lot of folks around town are now used to seeing wild turkeys around. And we had 24 on our count. That was a record high for us. So these are all changes that we're seeing locally. And like I said, this data is going into a national database, and so that they're able to look at bigger trends for lots of species. So.
Yeah. And is there a cohort of birders in this area that one could join if one is listening to this interview and thinking, that sounds like a lot of fun?
Well, you know, this is kind of like the only real organized count that I'm aware of in the area during the year. So, and I'm the organizer, so if I'm not hard to find, you know, I'm in the phone book, and I'm happy to try to, you know, connect people with teams. It's a once a year thing, so this year's is complete, but we'll be doing it again next year. And so, yeah, I'm happy to, you know, get people with teams. So.
Yeah. And I know I've talked before with you about, I mean, I love birds, but it often is just a black dot in the sky that I can't really make heads nor tails of. Obviously, binoculars help, but do you have any advice for those people who would like to understand and appreciate birds maybe a little more than they do today?
Well, I mean, I'm kind of a technophobe sometimes, but there are some pretty cool apps for your smartphone. One in particular called Merlin, and it's a free app from the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. And you just get this app on your phone, and you hit start, and it listens. And it's pretty good. It doesn't hear all the birds, like really distant ones it doesn't pick up, but it'll pick up the birds that are making noise around you, and it's really surprising how many different kinds of birds are calling throughout the year. It's especially impressive in the summer, spring and summer here. We've got a huge diversity of nesting birds in northern Minnesota, northeast Minnesota, and you can turn that app on, and it'll hear 15 different birds. And it kind of lights up when a bird is calling, so it kind of assists you in sort of figuring out which one's which. So it's really a fun app that's really it's really helped me. I have hearing problems, and so it helps with just detecting birds. So it's a lot of fun. So it's called Merlin, and I would highly recommend that one.
Okay. And what's one story or event or something that stands out to you that really was a standout day for a birder in Two Harbors?
On the count or just in general?
Just in general, like maybe something.
Just in general?
Yeah.
Well, we had earlier in the month, or earlier in December, I think it was on the 9th or 10th of the month, there was a small seabird called an ancient murrelet. It's a it's a very small, it's about 10 inches long. It should be on the Pacific Ocean. There have been a handful of sightings around the Great Lakes this year for whatever reason, and one showed up down at the breakwall in Two Harbors, and the lake was like glass, and I found it in the morning, and we got about probably 20 different people up there and got to see it. It's a first record for our county, for Lake County, and one of the few records for the state, so that was a pretty exciting find. It was only seen the one day, but that was that was some excitement.
Yeah, that does sound exciting. Is there any particular type of weather that's really good for bird watching?
Well, days with low wind are the best, I think. I think wind is really hard to bird in. And, of course, heavy rain and heavy snow is tough. But just about any other day is good. You know, during migration in the fall, especially, any day with some west winds, just, you know, kind of a light west wind will be pretty good for migration. So, and then days after storms, like I think we're supposed to get some weather here in the next day or two. I'll be trying to get out after that storm and do some birding, just because it seems like when a big front comes through, the activity, bird activity seems to pick up. So,
Wonderful. Well, Jim, you're always inspirational to listen to. It makes me want to go out and take a closer look, slow down a little bit, have a look, have a listen out on the peninsula. So thank you so much. Is there anything you'd like to mention before we close out here?
No, not really. No, I think we
covered
all the highlights with the comb. Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, and hopefully we'll have you on again.
Yep, I'm happy to come on anytime.
All right, you take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Yep, you too. Thank you. Bye.
That was Jim Lind. He is a local birder in Two Harbors. What a treat to talk to him. It makes me calm just to hear him talk about birds.